This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. I'm Wong Xiaoning here with Khoo Swee Chuang, and of course, this is the Morning Run. Now, at later tonight at 8 p.m., there's a special event because there's a BFM personal finance webinar. And the question is, are you short on cash during these trying times? Is surrendering your insurance plan a possible solution? So on this evening's BFM personal finance webinar, Roshan Kanison, together with Malik Ali, the founder of BFM, will be discussing the merits of surrendering insurance plans, the alternatives, and ways to continue keeping yourself protected. And that's going to be happening tonight at 8 p.m. on the BFM Radio's Facebook page. So do tune in, have a little view.
So if this is the Morning Run, does that mean they're having a night journey?
Night jog.
Go on a night journey with Roshan and Malik.
Yeah. But in about, well, not so far out into the night, but in about 15 minutes, we'll be speaking to Dato' Paul Kong, who's the Managing Director at Savills Malaysia, for an outlook on the Malaysian property sector. But before that, our favourite, markets, because US markets climbed amid a rally in technology companies while failing to top their all-time high. Big banks sold off after Berkshire Hathaway pared stakes in many of the industry's top names. So for the third time in the past week, the S&P 500 popped above its February closing record during the session but ended below it. Meanwhile, S&P 500 was up 0.3%. Nasdaq was up 1% on the back of a jump in Tesla Inc. and NVIDIA, as well as strong results from online retailer JD.com.
Yeah, Tesla is now well over $1,800, and they've risen by 4.5 times since their March lows. But the Dow did close down 0.3%. Boeing weighed on the index, and of course they would because they make aeroplanes and nobody's flying aeroplanes now. In Asia, which preceded America's markets, the Nikkei was down by 0.8%. In Singapore, the index was down by 0.4%, and Malaysia was down by 0.3%. But bucking the trend was Hong Kong and Shanghai, up 0.7% and 2.3%, respectively.
So for more insights on global markets, we have on the line with us Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Good morning, Joe. Now, you know, this week, big U.S. retailers like Walmart and Target are releasing their earnings this week. What kind of results are you expecting from this sector in light of the release of U.S. retail sales data last week?
I think they're going to be solid results from both companies. They're big, they're large, they have online presence along with Amazon, of course. The U.S. consumer is slowly but surely coming back. We've got a very high savings rate up until we lost the $600 additional unemployment. The consumer was pretty flush, all things considered, not only getting the unemployment benefits, but also the $600 plus. Unemployment rates come down, consumer confidence has picked up, a lot of housing activity, which means a lot of demand for Walmart and Target sell, everything from towels to clothing to dryers and so forth. So I think it's going to be a good release. A lot of this good news is already priced into the stocks, however, so we'll see how they trade off the news.
Yeah, Joe, switching to the Fed, their recent bond sales have propelled yields to the highest in a long time. Do you see bond yields hitting higher? And what effect will this further fiscal stimulus have on both long and short-term yields?
Well, the Fed has steepened the yield curve, but if you're working for a bank or if you're the banks in general, I mean, the cost of capital is just extraordinarily low right here. I think the biggest issue for bonds is the kind of the reflation and or inflation dynamics that are building, not just in the United States, but globally. So I think the key is global growth is picking up, Q3, Q4 sequentially getting better for the U.S., Malaysia, Southeast Asia, China, Europe. I think that kind of pushes bond yields higher. Does it lead to inflation? I think inflation is a story perhaps for 21 or 22. But synchronized global growth, good consumption, pickup in capital expenditures, going to drive growth. The fiscal stimulus, we're still waiting for the package to come out of Washington. I expect it to come. More deficit and debt, probably weaker dollar. But to me, that just adds more fuel to the fire in terms of growth in 21 and higher yields for 12 months out from where we are today.
And Joel, oil is at a 5-month high, but yet we are seeing Chaparral Energy, another shale oil driller, file for bankruptcy. So are we likely to see more of these companies go under at oil prices? And what kind of price level will they be able to sustain operations?
Yeah, it's a good question, because you know, when you talk to people in Texas or Oklahoma, everyone has their kind of pressure point or that price where they can't operate. And I think a lot of the bankruptcies and the consolidation you're seeing today is just the weaker players that really got rocked back in March and April when they collapsed in the oil prices. There's a lot of supply out there, not as much as before. There's a lot of OPEC production, Russian production. So I think we're going to see this consolidation in the oil patch. The bigger are going to get bigger, the stronger get stronger, and the weaker are going to go by the wayside. We haven't seen much in terms of distressed asset sales just yet, but I do think that'll be part of the equation as we go deeper into this year. So you could argue, like the airline energy, still very much down, still much in a recession, so to speak, and not out of the woods yet, which means more consolidation ahead.
And talking about a country that's not out of the woods is Japan, right? Because their second quarter GDP has fallen by nearly 28%. But yet their stock market, the Nikkei 225, has been rising steadily since March lows. So why are investors bullish on Japanese equities, even if their economy is clearly stuck in a recession and has been one in for a very long time?
Well, one reason, you've got negative yielding fixed income in Japan, pushes people into equities, not much better, relatively speaking. I think in Japan, the optimism around equities is the government being more fiscally proactive, the government being trying to create their own national champions, encouraging companies to leave China and come back to Japan. So the fiscal and monetary stimulus is both kicking in. We've usually seen more of the monetary than the fiscal side. So I think, Japan is also a play off of a rise in global trade, improving backdrops for global growth. I think that's helping as well. But you got to be careful. Maybe like the pharmaceutical sectors, electronics, some of the companies that are going to be into the vaccination, therapeutic drugs. So it's an interesting market, but you have the demographics, you have the negative interest rates to deal with. That's not going to go away anytime soon.
Yeah, Joe, CNN has a survey suggesting that Joe Biden's lead over Trump has been cut to just 4 points. How is Wall Street taking the seesawing in popularity, ostensibly, between both individuals?
That's a good question, because we tried to ignore for most of the year, but now with the convention starting, Democrats, then Republicans, and we get beyond Labor Day, and here we go. I think the street starting to come around for Biden's victory. What would that mean? Closer look at corporate taxes, what it mean for the energy sector, healthcare. I think the big issue, though, for the street is that if Biden takes the White House, the Democrats maintain the House, will the Republicans maintain the Senate? And I think that's the key pivot in the hinge moment, so to speak, for the election. If the Republicans can hang on to the Senate and Biden wins, then I think the market just taking its stride. As we know, divided government, a lot of the platforms and policies will be slowed down or more or less watered down. And I think that's what the markets are looking for. So the markets are expecting coming around to a Biden victory, but not a Democratic sweep, because that has broader implications for a lot of industries and some headline risks.
Thank you for your time. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management, giving his views on Japan and also on U.S., but reminding us that it's not just who gets into the White House, but who has control of the Senate and also Congress, because that really will make a difference in terms of the policies that U.S. will implement.
Yeah, the lawmakers are almost always the kingmakers when it comes to the direction of trade flows and the economy. And of course, later this week as well in Malaysia, we've got the Thursday public holiday. So there's every indication that Malaysia might be a quiet trading week, especially since we don't yet know whether this vaccine is going to be reaching commercialization anytime soon. That Sputnik moment, whether it's going to be temporary or more permanent in nature.
Yeah. But looking at another corporate this morning, which is somewhat related to Malaysia, is actually Geely, because, you know, as they have a 49% stake in Proton. So their auto profits sank by 43% in the first half of the year as the Chinese car maker slashed its sales target for the year. So Geely, of course, owns Volvo, a 49% stake in Proton, like I said, and almost 10% in Daimler. Now, they seem to have weathered the early months of the coronavirus better than many of its domestic competitors, but the slow pace of recovery in the world's largest car market is, of course, putting pressure on sales, and that largest car market is China.
Yeah, so it's interesting because the founder had actually suggested that he wanted to merge Geely with Volvo and have one unified brand, and that was a suggestion, that was a narrative that he was putting forth at the end of last year. So a lot of people, and this is something which I asked the local Volvo head as well, which of course he couldn't answer. But it was interesting because Volvo are making interesting headway into the EV space. And Geely obviously will bring all that commercialization and mass market appeal. I think the big question is really whether or not they'll brand it Volvo or whether they'll brand it Geely.
Yeah, and China is really pushing ahead with the electric car vehicle market. That is something that is on top of their economic agenda, and they want a made in China badge for all these cars. So it makes sense for them to pursue this. Whether we will see that replicated in the Malaysian market, I don't know, when it comes to Proton, or probably that will probably be not so soon. But up next, we'll be speaking to Dato' Paul Kong, Managing Director at Savills Malaysia, on his outlook on the property market. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.